Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Packers game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Thank you so incredibly much for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. We appreciate that so insanely much. Speaking of things I'm appreciative of, thank you, Andre Fernandez, for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Also want to give a huge shout out to Luigi's Pizza. Listen, if you've been waiting and you're just like, you know what, I haven't had a chance to try it yet, it's game day. It is Packers game day. There is nothing like a Luigi's frozen pizza on game day. You don't have to wait for the delivery people and all that stuff. Just go out, pick up the pizza, get like 10 of them while you're at it. So you've got enough game day and victory pizzas for the next few weeks. And celebrate game day the right way with a Luigi's Pizza. Check them out over at luigispizza.com. And you can find them on social media at Luigi's Pizza as well. Like I said, nothing like a game day pizza. And there's nothing like a game day Luigi's Pizza. All right. Grades. Unfortunately, I have some bad news. My whole plan was to grade everything late Friday, or like basically from like 5 p.m. till probably about midnight, 1 a.m., early Saturday morning. I had the time entirely blocked off. I was all set to do it and unfortunately ran into some technical issues. Not going to get to the grades this week. I'm probably not going to do them next week either, simply because by the time I get them done, half the players that I graded are no longer on the roster anyway. So I am going to pass on doing grades next week since I wasn't able to get to them this week either. But I promise you, I will pick them back up. Week one regular season, and I don't know if it's like 8 or 9 years now that I've done grading every player on every play. I've only done preseason a couple years because I didn't have all 22 for the preseason prior to that. So that's not exactly a tradition, but I will grade every player on every play all throughout the course of the regular season. So Detroit week one, and then immediately thereafter, Washington week two, I will get those out to you guys as soon as possible, and we'll pick those back up starting with week one against the Lions. Got some good news for you, though. Pre-game show coming up today, 1:30 p.m. Central Time. Ross Uglum is going to be taking you through that pre-game show and Q&A prior to the game. And then post-game show presented by Luigi's Pizza immediately following the game. Yours truly, I will be there for that post-game show immediately following Packers Seahawks. So hope to see you guys there, and make sure to check out Ross Uglum, 1:30 p.m. Central Time as well. As far as Friday went, all quiet in Packers land, other than our friend here at the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Monty Moore, apparently had an injury right in like the Titletown District area. Monty, hope you're okay. Hope you're doing well. I did see some injury photos courtesy of Tyler Herrick, amongst others. So hope you're doing well. Hope you are on the road to recovery and there was nothing serious there. But yeah, the injuries are getting so bad in Green Bay that now even Packers podcasters are getting hurt. So hopefully that is the biggest injury of the weekend, if anything Packers related. But again, Monty, thinking about you, bud, and hope you're going to be back on your feet sooner rather than later. There was one interesting nugget that happened on Friday, and kudos and courtesy to Bill Huber for finding this one. If you're hoping that Micah Parsons is going to be a Green Bay Packer, I've got some good news for you. If you're hoping that Micah Parsons is going to be a Green Bay Packer, I'm going to tell you not to hold your breath too much and maybe not to get those hopes too high. The good news is that Green Bay has catapulted up when it comes to their actual odds to get Micah Parsons from a Vegas standpoint. And I will also tell you that they are now third on the list of most likely teams that ends up with Micah Parsons. Number one being the Dallas Cowboys, number two being the Arizona Cardinals, and number three being the Green Bay Packers. Those seem like much better signs that they skyrocketed up the list and now they're number three on the list. That seems like good news. Well, they're still below 10%. It's like an 8.8% implied probability, something in that regard. For the whole breakdown, check it out over on Packers on SI with Bill Huber. He wrote it up, but good on Bill for checking that out. I did not think to look over on the Vegas odds, but under 10% chance, but that's not like nothing either, like 8%. There's a lightning bolts chance there, a little bit better. I still will believe it when I see it, but if you're looking for signs of hope and optimism, maybe that'll give you just a little bit. All right, let's get into Packers Seahawks. We're not going to take a super deep dive into this today. There's no matchups that we need to watch. We don't need to see the Seahawks corner versus a certain wide receiver. The ultimate end game here does not matter, meaning what the result of this game is pretty irrelevant. But I have 12 things that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. So I will tell you those 12 things and hopefully give you a viewing guide for today's game as well. Number one, it's lame. Let's get it over with. Injuries. This is still probably the biggest thing that can come out of this game. Who gets hurt? Hopefully, nobody. That would be great. But we know how this goes. There's usually going to get a player or two dinged up. Who are those players? And, you know, even if you're saying like, well, it was just so-and-so who's a backup player and they were going to get cut anyway, remember that if you have to cut them injured, there's an injury settlement that counts against the salary cap as well. So even things like that end up potentially costing you. Let's just hope that Green Bay and Seattle and all the other teams get through this week with no injuries. It's not what you want to see at any point in time, but certainly in preseason either. So can Green Bay get out of this game, hopefully healthy and injury free? The second thing I'm watching for is how long does Green Bay play their starters in this game? It sounds like Matt wants to play his starters, but you are getting to a point with some injured players. You've got injuries at wide receiver. You have injuries on the offensive line, corner, defensively. There's just a lot of players that are already out injured. My first question is, do you want to risk more in this game? And the second thing is, let's say Aaron Banks isn't going to play at left guard. Let's say there is something going on with Elgton Jenkins at center and Jacob Monk can't play. Are you going into this game with starter? I know Jordan's not playing, obviously, but are you going with what, you know, Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, Sean Ryan, Donovan Jennings, Kadeem Telford? Are you just going to go Belton at right guard? Probably Belton at right guard, maybe. And then, you know, do you get to Zach Tom at right tackle? Like, I'm intrigued to see what that lineup looks like. And then even if they do go with the starters, is this one series? Is this a half? Is it a quarter? Well, what are we looking at? It's been all over the place for some of these teams in week three of the preseason, meaning some guys are going pretty deep into the game with their starters. Others are being extremely conservative. I'm very, very interested from a Matt LaFleur standpoint, and especially with the injuries they have already, of just how many they want to actually play in this game and for how long. So definitely keeping an eye on that. Number three, going back to those starters. There's going to be errors in like the second half, third quarterback, fourth quarterback, backups all over the place. I expect chaos and confusion and a bunch of mental errors in the late third preseason game. That does not bother me. It doesn't even register on the radar. Early in this game, if and when the starters are actually in there, whether that be on offense or on defense, can we see the little things get done properly? Meaning no pre-snap penalties. Can you clean up the drops? Can you clean up the self-inflicted wounds? No fumbles. Can, like, those things that ultimately do matter and you want to start seeing them get cleaned up a little bit as you get ready for Detroit in week one. Whenever the starters are out there, I just want a clean brand of football. I'm not asking to be world beaters. I don't really care all that much. It's a preseason game, but I want to see that you can start stacking some plays and some quarters together without making any stupid mistakes. So early on in this game, first half, I really want to see this team play with much better focus. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your experience is. Go out there, play football the right way, take care of business, and do not have those self-inflicted wounds. Let's get to some of the things that, from a player standpoint, as we're looking at who's going to make this final roster, the position groups and the players to really keep an eye on in this game. There's no bigger one to me than corner. No question about it. You got three, Valentine, Hobbs, Nixon, that are locks to make the team. Bullard's going to get some time at the slot corner spot as well throughout the year. Bo Melton, by all accounts, seems to be trending in that direction to make the team. I'd be pretty surprised at this point if Bo Melton does not make the team. That's four true corners. I guess we're still calling Bo Melton a true corner, which is still a weird thing to say, but four true corners that make it, and then you have Javon Bullard, which leaves one or two spots left for the remaining cornerback group. I think it's probably two. It could just be one, but you've got four players: Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, Corey Ballantyne, and Micah Robinson. And if you told me any of the four made the team, totally believable. And if you told me any of the four got cut, totally believable. All within the realm of possibility. And again, they could keep one or two of those players. So one of those four could get kept, two of the four. It could be any of the four. There could be a world where they release all four and maybe go, you know, shopping on the trade market or the waiver wire as well. That these four have probably the most to gain and maybe even the most to lose of anyone playing in this game. So for Kamal Haddon, Micah Robinson, Kalen King, Corey Ballantyne, this for now is their Super Bowl. You want to make the 53? There are one, at least, if not two spots for four players that can go out and earn it. Go earn it. Let's see what you can do. And if you go out and have a bad game when everything's on the line, that's telling in and of itself as well. So lots to gain for those four, but certainly a lot to lose as well if they go out and have a poor performance. Number five is Malik Willis. Malik Willis is not a player that is on any sort of roster bubble or anything like that. But for Malik, this is a huge opportunity. He's going to go out there, theoretically, with the starters. It sounds like Matt wants to play him quite a bit. I would expect about a half from Malik Willis. We'll see if that's a little bit less, a little bit more, but I would expect about half the game from him. And this hopefully is the last extended opportunity that we as Packer fans get to see Malik Willis before he probably signs somewhere else in free agency next year. I guess the ultimate hope was that we don't see him again this year, but he re-signs with Green Bay and we get to see him as a backup next year in preseason. That I'm totally cool with that outcome as well. My hopefully is that we don't have to see Malik Willis for any extended period of time, even I mean even like a quarter this upcoming season. Kneel downs at the end of game, fine. Garbage time when you're winning, fine. But outside of that, I'm sorry, Malik, I don't have any desire to see you this upcoming season. So for Malik, what can he do in this game to show that he belongs in a starting quarterback conversation in 2026? And above and beyond that, what does Malik Willis look like with the ones in this offense running this version of the offense? If I'm Matt, I'm not building the Malik Willis offense for this preseason game. I'm putting him in there and saying, hey, this is Jordan stuff. This is what we normally do. Go out and run it. Let's see what you got. And I really want to see what that looks like as well. So his functionality within the Matt LaFleur system, his overall performance, and then for him personally, can he go out and show that he's capable of being a starting quarterback? You can only prove so much in preseason, but this is probably his biggest chance to go out there on a big-ish stage and go out and show that he is capable of leading a team. If he goes and has 3-4 touchdown drives, that's certainly going to be a big thing in his favor. Number six is special teams. We talked about it with Justice Mosqueda at length. Special teams are going to play a massive role in determining some of these final roster spots. I'll start with Mecole Hardman. Does Mecole Hardman have that Desmond Howard moment in him? Can he return a kick or a punt for a touchdown that makes Green Bay just go, all right, we're just keeping that guy. Too talented. We don't have a punt returner really outside of him. We can probably get by with the kick returners we have, but if he can do that, he's worth keeping around and he's going to probably need that moment as a returner. And then Christian Welch versus Isaiah Simmons. There's going to be certainly a defensive aspect of this as well, but the biggest battle for those two will be on the special teams field. And which one of those players is a more integral, important part of special teams is going to matter. Mason Crosby, a Mason Crosby show over on The Fan. He talked about he signed with the New York Giants after his time in Green Bay, spent a few weeks there. And when he was there, Isaiah Simmons was there. And Mason talked about how integral Isaiah Simmons was to the Giants special teams process and what they were doing overall. I think there's a chance that both these players can make the team. I still think Isaiah Simmons is sitting a little bit prettier as we speak. They seem to still like him on defense, even though it's been a rough situation so far. And above and beyond that, I do think he can be a real core special teamer here. But this is an interesting battle between Christian Welch and Isaiah Simmons because both of them have their deficiencies at linebackers for different reasons. And both of them are very good at special teams, but in very different ways. If it's a pick your poison or a pick your, you know, choose your own adventure, the difference between the two is they're just different types of players, and picking which one you want is going to be very interesting. Again, this game could go a long way in determining that. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. I had an absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. Number 7 is that number 6 wide receiver spot. Mecole Hardman, we talked about him as a returner, but as a wide receiver, he's involved in that conversation. Malik Heath, can somebody like Julian Hicks get in the conversation? There's been a lot of buzz about Isaiah Nayer as well. I think Hicks and Nayer are probably more in that practice squad conversation. I would be a little bit surprised if either Hicks or Nayer were on the 53, I think that's a pretty big jump overall. I can't even guarantee either will be on the practice squad. So again, right, you know, actual roster is, it seems very aggressive, but if they go out and have a massive game and there's already been a little bit of buzz building, then maybe they could make it onto the 53. I don't think Hardman or Heath, for the record, have had great training camp / preseasons at all. I think they've both had moments, but they've both had real struggles as well. And it could just be that they keep 5 wide receivers. And I think that would probably be the case, except you've got Jaden Reed hurt. You've got Savion Williams hurt. And, you know, you've got Christian Watson still on the PUP list. There's just a lot of, you know, wide receivers that are still banged up at this point in time. Dontayvion Wicks. So Wicks, Reed, Williams, and then Watson. Like, that's just too many receivers that are, even if, you know, 3 of them are set to come back right around week 1, are you going to trust all of them? Yeah, so I think they probably keep a 6th here, and it probably comes down to Hardman or Heath, but you know, maybe one of these other guys can get their name in the conversation if in fact they go out and have big performances. How about Kadeem Telford and Donovan Jennings? Will a real number 9 offensive lineman please stand up? Because there's nobody at the moment. Number 8, even Jacob Monk, I think you'd probably prefer he's like your 9 or 10. There is so much opportunity to make this team as an offensive lineman. Does Tyler Cooper want it? Does JJ Lippy want it? Brant Banks? Is there somebody that wants to go out and just completely ball out in this game and say, hey, I can take that number 9 offensive line spot? Because it hasn't worked that way so far. Donovan Jennings has got a lot of opportunity. He has not made the most of it. Kadeem Telford's got a lot of opportunity. I would say he has not made the most of it. Somebody, take that spot. It's right there. It's really tough to go waiver wire shopping or trade shopping on the offensive line. Those guys just get scooped up right away. And it's really difficult to find them. Like, if you have them, you're keeping them. You're holding on to them for dear life. You can never have enough offensive linemen. Teams are not willing to get rid of those. So again, I don't know that they're going to find anyone on the waiver wire or via trade that would work out better. So please, Kadeem Telford, Donovan Jennings, go make a name for yourself and hopefully step up big in this game. Number 9 is a player that I don't think has an opportunity to really make a run at a 53 spot. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe with a huge game he can, but I really want to see what Amar Johnson can do. I would try to make him, there's always a double-edged sword here. A part of me says like make him the focal point for this game, The second part of me says, you know what? Maybe don't play him at all. Maybe don't play him at all. You might say, what are you talking about? Why would you not want to play him at all? Well, I want to get him back in the practice squad. I don't want any other team to know how good he is. I don't want any team focusing on Amar Johnson. And trust me when I say it, like, give him two crappy play calls just to get him out there and be like, oh, that didn't look good. If you don't play him, teams are going to be like, wow, Green Bay didn't even like him. Well, we're certainly not going to claim him. The Packers didn't even give him snaps in the final preseason game and then proceeded to release him. Why are we going to claim him? The team that had him didn't even like him. You know, so maybe there's a little bit of gamesmanship there and maybe you hide him a little bit more, but he's definitely a player I would really like back in the practice squad. But if he is out there, I want to see what he can do. And if he has a really big day, maybe he does get his name in that conversation for a 53 spot, whether it be with Green Bay or elsewhere with a massive performance. So Amar Johnson, definitely one I'm keeping an eye on. Same thing kind of goes for Nazir Stackhouse. I think he's the outside guy looking in right now at defensive tackle. I don't think any of the other five guys are going anywhere. Brinson's too talented. Wooden and Brooks should be there. And certainly Wyatt and Clark aren't going anywhere. If he's going to make it, it's probably as a sixth defensive tackle. But again, it's not just Green Bay he could make if he goes out and has a big performance. I mean, if he has a big performance, like couple sacks, big time run stuffing performance, Green Bay's just going to find a way to keep him. If not, you know, he probably gets claimed by somebody. Somebody else says, hey, that's a 330 pounder. It's really difficult to find those guys. Like, sign me up. I'll take a flyer on it. There's enough teams that need defensive line help. I'm very intrigued overall at what he can bring in this game. I think he's been extremely inconsistent in the first two preseason games, but now you need to go out, have a really big game in week three if you want that opportunity to make a 53 in Green Bay or again for another team. Number 11 is a player that you probably don't spend much time thinking about, but was on the 53 all of last year. That's Aaron Mosby. Aaron Mosby is a core special teamer, and he's healthy on the defensive line, where there's just a limited amount of those players. Gary, LVN, who has actually also been a little bit beat up as of late, Kingsley and Igbari, Brenton Cox, and then Mosby after that, Colin Oliver, Baron Sorrell, both not practicing. If that ends up being the case where Colin Oliver stays on PUP and Baron Sorrell ends up on the IR designated to return list, in that case, I think Mosby just makes it as the number five defensive end. I think you probably can't just go in with four overall. So Aaron Mosby, go out, have a big game, earn that final spot, and have a really big day on special teams to really help you. If you can get a sack or two in there as well, that would not hurt things either. And then last but not least, number 12, the backup, or I should say the third string quarterback battle, Elgersma versus Clifford versus anyone else that they could potentially get on the practice squad. They like another player somewhere else that they think has more upside. They could go in that direction. But for now, it seems like it is Elgersma versus Sean Clifford. This is just a classic. One guy knows the NFL and just the offense better, and that's Sean Clifford. The other has much more upside, but his head is just swimming right now. I think the obvious answer here is you're screwed either way right now if you get to Clifford or Elgersma. Just take the guy with more talent. See if he can develop and see if by next year you have a player that is capable of being a backup if Malik Willis is gone. I think we've probably reached peak Sean Clifford. Let's see what Elgersma looks like with a little bit more time in this offense. So your 12 things to watch: injuries, how much do the starters play? Can the starters do the little things right? The corner room and who ultimately plays well within those core four that are trying to fight for that final roster spot. What does Malik Willis do out there? Special teams, especially when it comes down to 53-man roster battles. Hardman versus Heath versus Hickson Nair? Like, who can finally get that number six wide receiver spot? Telford versus Jennings as the ninth offensive lineman. Amar Johnson, Nazir Stackhouse, can those two guys go out and find jobs either on Green Bay or elsewhere? Can you get them back in the practice squad? Aaron Mosby is fighting for a spot, and then Elgersma versus Sean Clifford. My prediction in this one, I don't ever get to predict ties. I'm going a 2020 tie to end preseason. It just feels like what's supposed to happen. You got one loss, you got one win. But why don't we get the tie in there as well? There's no overtime. I'm going 2020 Packers and Seahawks tie this game in a wild, crazy, unbelievable affair. And that's going to be your final score. That is my official prediction for this game. All right. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members: PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle, Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I will see you guys soon. Enjoy game day. Go Pack, go, of course, on this day especially, because it's a game day. But until next time, and as always, now I can say it again, go Pack Go.